Great. I'm Cindy. I'm an addict.
Cindy.
I'm grateful to be here. It doesn't really matter how I feel right now. I'm still grateful to be clean and grateful to be at a Narcotics Anonymous convention. This was not part of my plan. Like, I was coming to visit some friends, right? And this convention just happened to be going on, and they needed somebody to step in. So by the time I got on the plane last Saturday, by the time I got here, my homeboy done had me committed to two speaking things, and I was like, oh, all right, so this is what we're doing, right? Man, I always say that, like, it's real important for me. We're in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, right? And so it's important for me to come in here and talk about the things that my head tells me, because I need to get that shit out of the way so that I can carry a message. And so, that threw me all the way off. All right, got you. I'll do the best that I can to speak in the mic, but here's the thing, man. Like, I pray before I get here. I move a lot around a lot. I got a lot of energy. Like, I cuss a lot. Right? And I always tell everybody, like, when we're done, you can't put me out because y'all invited me here. Right? So I'm going to do the best that I can to speak into the mic, but I can't make no promises. But anyway, like, as soon as we got here to the convention, man, like somebody was, like, being taken out dead. They found somebody dead over here, right? And I don't know them people or anything, but, like, that was just real heavy, right? It was, like, real heavy, kind of set me back a little bit, and immediately I started praying for whoever that person's family is, because the one thing about it is I didn't have a God of my understanding when I got here, but I have one now, and it just kind of hit me, and then I walk in, and I immediately start separating myself. Not judging y'all, right? Like, I start telling myself things like I look different from them. I don't know anybody because I go to a lot of, like, conventions, like, more south. I'm from Nashville, right? I'm from Tennessee. So, like, I didn't know nobody except for the people that are here with me. And so the workshop is, like, facing fears, right? Like, I'm talking about my fears because my head tells me I don't have shit to say to y'all. Like, it doesn't matter that I have over 8 years clean and I've worked 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, right? That I still ain't shit, that my hair don't look right, that my ass ain't fat enough, right? Like, that, like all that shit, like, that's what it says to me. And then it gets in the way of me coming in here doing exactly what needs to be done, man, which is, like, carrying the message of hope. Right? Like, I think about, like the fears and facing the fears, and I think about, like, when I first got clean, like, the bare minimum fears, right? The bare minimum, like, when I had to ask somebody to be my sponsor, right? Like, that was, and then I think about the level, how, because just like the, as we go through step work, man, like, we remove levels, right? Like, it's like the onion, and we're peeling that. We go through levels. We get levels of serenity. We get levels of self-acceptance, right? And it's the same thing with fear. And I was thinking, like, what the hell am I even going to share? Like, I don't even know, like, what to share about because I feel like that's how I live my life. I feel like every day I'm facing some kind of fucking fear, and I'm just trying to make it another fucking day, right? But the thing about, the theme about all the facing of the fears is that, like, I'm facing them, right? And that's the thing. So I'm the addict that has the story, like, I come in and out, and I frequent the doors, right? They're placing beds. Is she going to stay clean? Like, what does that look like? Relapse over and over again, right? So I have a healthy fear of relapse because I had that experience, but it was because I couldn't face fear. Right? I continued to use because I was scared. All my character defects in my sixth step were based out of fear. All of them. Right? And in order to find out some things about yourself, you got to do some work around here. Like, you got to come in here. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous is the 12 steps. They're not here for no reason. Right? One of my biggest things is, like, I can come in here and I can do some things, man. Like, I can stay clean. I can white knuckle clean time. I'll start taking a bath. I'll get a job. I'll get a little change in my pocket. Right? Like, I can do some things on the outside, but I want it to be different on the inside. Right? And I think back to, like, all the things that I've done since I've been clean, man. Even as far as, like, going and starting the step working process, man, how scared I was to identify who I really was and, like, what that looked like for me. You know, since I've been clean, I have went back to school, right? I got a master's degree. That shit trips me out, right? All of my kids are in my life. I am a present mother in my children's lives. Like, I didn't know how to be a fucking mom. I lost all my fucking kids, right? I lost all of my fucking kids. And I didn't know how to be a fucking mom. So the fact that I'm very present for my children, and not just my children, but my grandchildren that have never seen me high. Like, right? So, like, we're talking about facing those fears. And so, like, for me, yeah, there's a whole lot of things I faced. But like, the God of my understanding is comical, right? The guy said before, like, that was in this workshop before, he said, I prayed before I got up here, so whatever I share about, like, it's not my fault. If I fuck it up, it ain't my fault, right? It's God's fault. I love that. I needed to hear that, right? Because I was sitting down there getting trapped in my fear, right? Getting worried about what y'all were going to think. Am I going to sound like a fucking idiot? Like, who gives a fuck? I don't want to give a care what y'all think about me, but I do. I do. And like, I can't come in here and I'm not going to pretend and put on that fake, that, you know, that fake ass shit. Like, oh, I'm this, that, and the third. Look, the meeting was in here. I was like, shit, mama, we made it. We in the main. Mama, we made it, right? But I got to laugh at myself because, like, the truth of the matter is that, like, I'm real fucking humble. I like attention, right? Learn that in step work, but I do not like to be the center of attention, right? And so I was sitting down there and I was like, man, you got to get this out of the way, God, because, like, I'm scared. I don't want to get up in front of these people. It's not easy to come in here. It doesn't matter how many conventions I share at, fucking speaker jam, in meetings. It doesn't make a fuck, man. Like, exposing myself to y'all is a scary thing, right? And so, in my current life, right, because the God of my understanding is not going to let me escape what I don't want to talk about.
I know that's what
I mean. Because that's what I want to do, right? Like, I want to come in here and be like, tell y'all how good the literature is, because it is, right? Like, it is. The literature is good. Like, I live by the literature, man. Like, if you don't have the literature, get the books, read. You got to learn about yourself. You got to learn about the disease that you suffer from. If you don't, you can't combat it. Right? Like, that shit is important. But, like, the truth of the matter is that, like, I'm currently facing two of the biggest fears in my life. And they're all stemming around fucking relationships. Right? It all stems around relationships. And in my mind, I'm like, God damn, you've been sharing about this shit for a long time. You've been sharing about this shit for a long time. And now here I am in fucking wherever the fuck we're at, about to share about it again. I'm in a transition, like, in my life, man, to where, like, I'm in this relationship with somebody. We've been in a relationship since I've been clean. Real fucking brief, like, I was in a relationship with this dude when I was using. He was my trick, right? Like, I don't really have to, like, hide nothing from y'all. We do shit in here. He's got a whole lot of clean time. I got 8 years, like, and so I've been stuck in this relationship because when I first got clean, I didn't have any work, right? And now I've done some work. A lot of shit's happened in between that, but man, like, I'm in this transition where I'm just, like, dragging my fucking self through fear, right? Dragging myself through fear, and, like, I don't want to jump and make that transition. I finally moved out of the fucking house with him, and I'm living on my own. Soon as I move out on my own, my fucking daughter shows up on my doorstep with 5 kids. And these are the things that are happening in my life, right? And I'm having to face that shit. Like, I don't get to run from that shit. And there's days that I just want to fucking run, right? Like, I was so happy to be able to come here for a minute. And my sponsee celebrating 4 years. I've never been able to be present. Gifts of recovery, right? I've never been able to be present and hand her medallion physically. I was real grateful for that. And get the fuck away from them kids. Listen, them kids, man. Like, I need to talk about the real shit, because I can come in here and I can sound real good for y'all, right? But then when I'm putting them grandkids to bed, like, it's going down in my fucking house, right? You would think I don't have a spiritual principle one, and I'm struggling with that, right? It sounds funny, but, like, I lay down at night and I cry myself to sleep. There's fear based in that shit, man, like, that I'm going to be the reason that they're fucked off when they get older. Because I'm just repeating trauma. I'm just giving them what the fuck my parents gave me, right? And so I live in that fear a whole lot because I don't know what the outcome is. I know that if I come in here and tell y'all, and I'm honest with y'all, that I can get some help in that, right? I know that. But right now in this present moment, that's not what's happening. I'll say every day, like, I'm not going to yell at them kids today. I'm not going to talk crazy or sideways to my daughter today. And every fucking day, man, I do it again. And I do it again, and I do it again, and then I worry about what y'all are going to say about me if I come in here and I talk about the very kids that I lost and got them back. Now y'all are going to judge me, because how could she do that to her kids? How could she do that? She lost her kids, and then fuck all that, right? Like, I'm here for the freedom. Like, I can't, there's somebody out here struggling with the same shit I'm struggling with, right? Like, I can't worry about what y'all think about me in those moments, right? I can look on the outside and critique myself and, like, tear myself apart and worry about that, but I can't worry about the words that come out of my mouth, man. I can't do that because I got to get freedom in that shit. If I'm not the one being honest, because honesty is the antidote, right? If I'm not being honest, I can't get any help. So I'm fucking off in my house. I'm yelling and screaming, acting a fucking fool. Then I'm going in a meeting. share them real good. All right. And then we got this relationship that's lingering on the side. We're being friends. Y'all know that? How you be friends after you come out of a relationship? We're being friends. And listen, here's the thing. Like, I love this dude, right? I'm not going to sit up here and act like this ain't a good dude. This ain't about him. This is about me, right? Like, I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. I wish that I could be in love with him. But see, when you get in relationships with people, especially in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we all come with baggage, right? And there's shit that we're dealing with, right? And he had his shit and I had my shit and infidelity and going back and relapsing, right? Because y'all heard me say that I've relapsed. I've been with this dude since like 2013, right? Committed. And that ain't, you know, that's not how long I got clean, so y'all do the math. I've done shit like army crawl into his bedroom and steal his money out of his wallet. Getting up in the middle of the night and leaving, right? I've created the same types of feeling in him that he's created in me from infidelity. But I ain't cheated, so it's different. That type of shit. Anyway, I've done enough work to know that it ain't got nothing to do with that, right? It's not fucking different. He had the same feelings that I had either way, because I chose the drugs over him and he chose somebody else, right? And that's just what it is. But what's happened over the time is like the trauma from all that, man, and the back and forth, and like I just can't make myself anymore. So then we have to become responsible for our own recovery, right? Like I did an 8-step, I done worked on some shit, moving through the fucking steps. And what I know is that I'm causing harm now because I can't bring my full self to the fucking table. So then I got to look at him and I got to be like, even though you just did this, that, and the third, right? I got to leave because I'm not the one bringing it to the table. And so my head will play tricks on me. My head will play tricks on me and tell me to blame him, but the reality is that's not what I said to that man at all. I did say to him, I was like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I did to you, you did to me, none of that fucking matters. But what matters right now is that I got to leave this house because I can't give you what you need, right? And I'm a selfish motherfucker. I'm selfish because, see, I still want the money. I still want my bills paid, even though I make enough money to pay my own fucking bills, right? I still want to be lavish because he cakes my ass. Don't get it twisted. He makes sure my kids are taken care of. We got grandkids and shit together, right? Like, we don't have no biological kids together, but those grandkids are ours. But I can't keep doing what I'm doing, right? And this more and more every fucking day, and I'm scared. Listen, I don't know what my recovery life looks like without him. And that's the hard part. It's like, I know that I need to just do this. Like, God's been telling me for a long time, y'all. Like, I've been sharing about this shit for a long time. I've been in tune with my spirit and the God of my understanding for a long time because I do the fucking work. But I am scared. I am scared to do it. And then I come all the way, get on a fucking airplane all the way from Nashville, fucking Tennessee, and y'all got me on a workshop of facing fucking fear. Y'all call it what you want to. I'm not confused that there's no coincidence in this process. Like, right, the God of my understanding has me right fucking here. And I said that. It's so funny. I was sitting here the other night. They had me sharing some damn where. And I always, like, try to tap in. And I'm like, God, like, let me know, like, if this is where I'm supposed to be. Am I out of the fucking way? Like, I need something. I need you to show me something. And we were on the way to this home group or whatever that they had me sharing at, and I lost my dad in this process to the disease, right? And his middle name is Dexter. The house of the people who, like, where we were sharing was Dexter's house. And then he gets up here and he's like, I'm Dexter and I'm an addict. And I was like, there it is, right? Because I'm not confused. Thank God that my spiritual vision is in tune, right? Because that's my God showing me that, like, you're right where you're supposed to be, right? Because I don't hear Dexter often. That's not anything that I hear very often. My son's middle name is Dexter, and like, we will call him that sometimes. But those are the kind of things that I'm talking about, right? So God let me know that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I don't know what it looks like for me right now. Like, I don't know when it looks like I just, like, transition out of this, right? But I don't stop doing the fucking work. And I don't stop coming in here and being honest about, like, what the fuck is going on in my life, man, because that's the only solution, is doing the work. It don't matter if I'm in the fetal position. It don't matter how much pain I'm in. It doesn't matter how scared I am. I do it any fucking way. And that's where courage comes in, right? Because we got to apply these principles in all our affairs. Even when it looks like I'm not applying these motherfuckers, I'm applying them. Right? Like, I am committed to my life in Narcotics Anonymous. I am committed to my life with my children. No matter if I'm fucking, it sounds like a stick up at bedtime or not. Right? I'm committed. I'm there. I'm present. right? And I'm doing the best that I can with it. So if I just keep coming in here and being honest with y'all, and I keep doing step work, because I don't stop doing step work. It doesn't matter that I've been through 12. We started over, because we evolve as people, right? Like, new issues arise, right? And we need to be able to address those issues. If you're running on that old shit, man, you come on up to speed. Right? Come on up to speed. You got to keep working, because we change through this process, man. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep facing the fear. I'm going to keep doing the work. I'm going to keep coming in here and telling y'all it don't matter what the fuck is going on. I'm going to face the fucking fear. I don't know if I'll be with this dude next year or not. If I am, okay. It's my process, not y'all's, right? Baby steps. And that's what I got to remind myself. I don't care if I'm just inching along. I'm just doing a little bit of walking, right? As long as I'm moving fucking forward. If I ain't sitting still, we're good. We can get somewhere, man. But if I get stagnant, right, and I stop doing the fucking work, then I'm going to stay right here, stuck in fear all the fucking time, losing sleep. I'm going to stop yelling at my grandkids. Y'all need to know that. I'm going to stop wilding out on my daughter. Like, that shit is coming, because I'm hoping they got income tax and they going to get the fuck out of my house, so we ain't got to worry. But for real, I want to do it before they move out. Listen, she got her income tax. I was like, fuck, man, they're going to move out before I get an opportunity to practice these principles in all my fears. Like, I really want to do that, right? And it's not that I'm not practicing any principles, man. I just wild out sometimes. That's what I'm used to. Like, I hear it. My sponsor talks crazy to me. She talks crazy because that's how I receive it. That's how I hear it. So I'll be talking crazy to other people. But that ain't always what's best. Definitely not with 7, 8, and 5 and, you know, 2 and 1 year olds, like, they ain't hearing that shit. But we're gonna get better, right? And it doesn't matter what we face in here. Just about everything we do is brand new, because I've never been right here anyway, so I'm facing fears all the fucking time. I've never had over 8 years clean standing at this fucking place in a second fucking four step and doing what I'm doing. So I'm scared a lot. But you don't know by my walk, because I keep on fucking walking, right? And so my spirit's shutting it down. I don't have anything else to say. Thank y'all again for letting me come and share. I'm out.
Wow, Cindy, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh. Now, I would like to introduce Steve.
Afraid that you don't like me as much as her because I don't have a cool accent. Nashville. Once upon a time, I went into Vanderbilt University Hospital with an English accent. I told them that I flew over the ocean and I lost my luggage and there was this weird drug that they had me on. It's like Dorotted or something like that. He's like, do you mean Dorotted? That's the one. I'm only going to be here for 90 days. If you wouldn't mind writing a script for that. You got it. And it worked once. Second time, no. I am from a place called Greenbelt, Maryland. It is a quaint little village in Prince George's County, upper class elite living, amazing PCP. I'm currently employed as a janitor in a treatment center, and it is the coolest job that I have ever had. I threw my hands up as a federal prisoner September 1, 2010. This is year 15 in this amazing way of life.
some friends of mine were the ones that found the poor soul in the parking garage today. And it was described to me that it was elderly gentlemen.
Elderly gentleman that was looking for a place to keep warm. And when it comes to talking about fear, that really paints the vivid picture for me and the things that I connect to other people. I am afraid that that's how it ends for me. And I'm not afraid of the moment when I die. I'm afraid of the moment right before it, where I realize that no one else can hear me. And so, that's why I am up here in a convention hall, speaking into the microphone assertively, doing what is widely considered to be the most fear-inducing thing a human being can do, which is public speaking. And I have a surprise. My sister is here. She just celebrated 5 years clean. Let's go. And the surprise is that, because she absolutely hates doing this stuff, the surprise is that she's coming up here to speak instead of me. Clap it up for my sister. Let's go. Look at her face. I'm kidding. You sit your ass in the seat. Yeah, I know. God, I just wanted to show you guys what fear incarnate actually looked like. There it is. Look at the fear on her face, dude. Let's go. This is a pure moment. She's hoping that I stop talking about her because she feels like everyone's looking at her. And now she's hiding her face. I'm going to do this for another 10 minutes or so and just ride it out with her. There we go. Every man, person that I've had the privilege of bringing through this thing called the fourth step has put me closer in touch with that element, molecule, force called fear. And I have them do this thing where I say, now that we're through the fourth step, which is the hardest step in the world, just ask anyone that's never done it. The fear that I carried around before I worked it was significant. I went to the history meeting. I saw you guys in there. That's where it all lives. I went to the history meeting before that, man, and those guys are absolute legends. We got legends, giants of humanity walking among us, and we don't even realize it. And they were talking about how we exist because we dopamined our way into the prisons in Maryland, how we had to use AA, like we went in, one of us finally was like, fuck it, I'm sober, I'm not clean. And because they wouldn't let NA into the prisons. They were like, nah, we can't have you guys in here, only the alcoholics that burn their lives down with their pinkies in the air, they can come on in. And it just reminded me about what we're capable of doing. Yo, if you got like 6 months clean or a year clean or 2 years clean and you refer to it as I only have, please hear me. This program was built by people with a year clean. You are incredibly powerful. Please do not underestimate the power that you possess. And being a wise old predecessor in my 15th year of our Lord, 2025, I need to tell you that I'm jealous of who I was when I had a year clean. Jealous of that guy. He had a lot less information, but goddamn, he was passionate. He was also rampantly mentally ill without any kind of help in his life at the time. So that came out, but he didn't miss meetings for anything. And he didn't look at himself in the mirror and have thoughts like, is this all it is? Well, that came out of nowhere. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. It's weird because it's called Narcotics Anonymous, so it makes you think that it's about drugs. We're grateful to them because there's nothing like heroin and cocaine in the same needle mixed in with a whole bunch of blood in your mom's closet and you can't find a vein to point out that your life might not be headed in the right direction. When I came here, I was under the impression that I came to figure out how to not use them. Here is the spoiler, the reveal. If that's why you came here, are you ready? Look at Ron on the edge of his seat. He's so fucking amped to hear this, dude. Don't use them. Don't do it. That's it. We can shut the fellowship down. It's over. I just revealed all of that. That's what I thought. You could give me some strategies to not put chemicals in my body. What we actually do here is we learn why using those chemicals in the face of the most adverse, relentless consequences seems so necessary, seems so vitally important anytime we had a feeling. There's guys I grew up with in here. In my neighborhood, no matter what happened, we reacted the exact same. If someone dies, Steel Reserve, Philly Titan, roll it up. Oh, what was that powder he was sprinkling in the blunt? That was you. That was the first. You were the first one to do that shit. You know it. Look, hell, own it, Dave. Let's go. You fucking tainted it. And then I was like, does that mean I'm a crack smoker? And Dave was like, hell nah. And I was like, that's right. And I put my pinky out again. And, you know, we ended up here. What I was afraid of was that my life without them was going to be this miserable saga that had nothing to look forward to. I punched a kid in the face in the first week of the seventh grade. And they put me in a place called Boys Village when I was 13. And I didn't come back. And I've never been to high school a day in my life. And I'm the lead plaintiff against the state of Maryland right now for this big old child sex scandal thing. And they want to put me on one of these microphones in a couple weeks to talk to the world and rally the press. And I'm going to send them this recording. And I'm going to be like, are you sure that's what you want me? Is that sure that's what you want to do? You want to put me on the mic? I will. I'll talk about it. Talk about that real easy. No problem. Absolutely. I was abused sexually in Boys Village multiple times. And that's not something I ever thought I would say into a microphone like this. But yeah, it happened. And it taught me what powerlessness was. And the first step was real familiar to me because it described a process where no matter how bad you want something to turn out this way, no matter how loud you scream and fight against the reality that you're in, it's going to turn out this way anyhow. It doesn't matter how bad you want this. This is what's coming. Powerlessness. It's a surrender process that I have to accept that my will just isn't enough. That they don't care. That it hurts. It's funny to them. And I walk through those moments of my life and the step work, and that's the purpose of it, man. Because you don't come out of a situation like that feeling too good about yourself. That thing shows up, whatever it is. How you gonna talk about that? You know, I come out, see Dave, like, what's up, man? And I don't know what the fuck Dave's been through. I was locked up over here doing this, and then this, and then this, and then my sister started, like, she wanted to be one of us, so she starts getting arrested too. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm proud of you, babe. And we never had the vocabulary to talk about the perceptions that we had of ourselves and the standards that we were trying to live up to, and we are the ones that invented them. You know what fear is? Going through your first breakup and having Eminem be the only man in your life that can tell you what to do about it. What are you doing, Steve? I don't know, but she's in the trunk of my car, tied up, and I'm on my way to a pier to drop her off of it. Because Eminem said so. You know why? Because the father that was supposed to be the person to guide me through those emotional hellholes was not at, was he was not around. He was not there. And that was the first wound that I knew, which was, what the hell is wrong with me? I didn't feel like I did something that pissed my dad off. What the thing said to me when I saw him pull away in the driveway for the last time was, you're so fucking boring and uncool that he just had better things to do. That was the first fear, and I did not know that until I encountered step work in this process. What I have these people do that I bring through the fourth step is boil down their entire experience into one sentence. One sentence. You hit it. In six. There's only one defect of character, man. It picks up a lot of tools and wears a lot of different masks, but at the end of the day, if you boil it all down and strip away all the artifice and the presentation, the end of the day, I am afraid. And every single drug that I have put into my body can be traced directly back to the ultimate fear, which is, I am afraid that you are going to push me away. I am afraid that the parking garage is where it ends for me, where no one can hear me, see me, or know my name. That's not an accident. If you can hear my voice right now, congratulations on being the descendants of the people that realized that it was good to do certain things to stay alive. Because everyone else, that's just us. And you know what we realized? We realized that being together was important. We realized that we couldn't stay alive if we didn't stay together. And we developed this deep sense of fear inside of us that was being pushed away from the herd. And I talk about this in between mopping the floors at work all the time. If you push me away, I will die alone. Because I will not be able to survive. I will not be able. Look, food is a different story, man. Back in the day, for most of our existence, we had to take the animal down with our hands and feed ourselves that way. And you don't do that alone. At least not without Greenbelt PCP in your system. That's a molecule that we all have. It's in our DNA, the desire, the need to recognize that being part of a group is essential to our survival. And so that fear sets in us. And then these people with 1 or 2 years clean came together and wrote a book about it. And they started channeling their way to this term called self-centered fear. Not just fear in a general sense. Self-centered fear. I'm thinking what you're thinking about me, and I'm thinking that it might be cool, but there's this glint in your eye that says, this guy's fucking insane. Why is he looking at me and talking to me right now, live in a meeting? And I'm thinking about what you're thinking about me, and I'm thinking that it's not so good, so now I'm thinking about what I can do to change it, because if I can change what you think about me, then maybe at the end of the day, I can change what I think about myself, and if I change what I think about myself, then you won't push me away. That's it. If I had to point at one thing, one central component that was tied to every self-destructive decision that I have ever made, it's that right there. And the steps did not teach me how to become a good person. I was that when I arrived. What the steps have done is given me the opportunity to exhale and put all of the things down that I invented just to survive what I think you think about me. And that's what we call defects of character. My disease has a legacy of using every good thing about me to kill me. It will use intellect or my impressive physique as an athlete. It will use... What? It will use anything you can think of, and yes, it will speak to me in the voice that I will listen to. Absolutely. I'm afraid that my dad was right. I'm afraid that everything that I wrote about in my fourth step is the truth. I'm afraid that when you see anything good in me, that it's because you're stupid. When you view me in a way that deeply conflicts with the way that I view myself, something starts to happen called dissonance. Like when we play two keys on the piano right next to each other. Discord. It doesn't fit. So now I don't trust you. But if you think I'm attractive... Wait, you're not attracted to me, Dave? Well, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? I'm thinking what you're thinking about me, and now I'm thinking that you're not attracted to me, so now I'm thinking I need to take my fucking shirt off to make my point. Are you ready? All right. We get to this point where we have to realize, like our 11th step says, that with or without those things, with or without, you know, the her or the him or the they, when at the end of the road we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without whatever we have put in our lives to survive the way we feel, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? We either go on the best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or we find a new way to live. And the new way to live is written in a book that we all own. And it's cool. And it speaks to me at a fifth grade reading level and says things like, when we were beaten, we became willing. It says things like most of us were relieved to find that we had a disease instead of a moral deficiency. The first time I heard that, I felt seen in a way that I didn't like. Newcomer, hear me. Year one, year two, year five. Just survive the side effects, man. You don't need to become some spiritual fucking... leader. You don't need to do any of that. You don't need to sound good. You don't need to look good. You don't need to do any of those things. What you do have to do is survive the side effects of the disease as it is trying to defend itself. Because for the first time in its existence, you've begun to do the work. And you've begun to zero in on it. And you've begun to center in on the exact nature of the wrong. Not the thing. We can hold up effigies for why we're unhappy all the time. We can blame it on this and blame it on that and blame it on this. And I just watched your entire spirit take place the moment where the exact nature hits you. And that was a beautiful thing to behold. And I have never seen that happen anywhere else but here. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to learn something about myself as a result of standing on this stage today. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to fold that in and I'm going to ask myself, does that represent the man that I want to be, or is it an old defense mechanism? And can I become entirely ready to have God remove it, take it away? Your disease screams the loudest when you try to kill it. It will defend itself. It will do everything it can to keep you present in the lives that you live. Survive the side effects. If you met her in rehab, or him in rehab, they might be the one. Matter of fact, that has a super high success rate, actually. Just know this. Is that if they love who you're not, then they are going to hate who you truly become as a result of this process.
That's right.
Yeah, 15 years in. I never had sex once since I've been here, especially not in my first year. It's weird when our feelings come back because they don't take a number. They don't politely invite themselves in like the NBA. What they do is they take control of us in our most vulnerable and confusing moments. And that fear shows up. Hey, man. I did this thing called battle rap for a long time all over the world, and it was cool. I got to see the world, and it was fun, and people have said some really bad shit to me, man. Someone said I looked like Stephen Avery in London one time, and that hurt. That's the Making the Murderer guy. He said, it was a British guy. He said, who convinced Stephen Avery he could beef on stage with me? And that's not that cool of a bar, but that kind of fucked me. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm talking about it right now. It's like 10 fucking years ago, but damn. My point is that they've said some of the nastiest things in the world to me under the auspices of creativity. But if they would have just said, you're not cute, your ears are too big, or other things that I'm not going to say in this room right now, it would have hurt, man. It would have hurt a lot. Why? Because those were the first things that it ever whispered to me. Those were the things that it said to me when I said, I'm afraid they're going to push me out of the herd. And it would hold up those things like a prosecution attorney as evidence for why any moment now the hammer's going to drop. Hey, you know the thing about facing your fear? Is you can face your fear with fear on your face. Do it. That's what courage is. Be afraid while you're doing it, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're going to go talk to someone in the hospital on their deathbed about the wrongs that you did to them because your sponsor said, do it now or you will never have a chance again. And you're not afraid? Yeah, me too. You should be. It's a good sign. One of the first things I ask anybody that washes up on the shore here in Narcotics Anonymous is, are you afraid? Everyone that has stayed clean has answered that question yes. You being afraid in that moment means that you've identified something that's worth fighting for. It means that you think you don't have any self-worth, but damn it, you do. People that don't love themselves don't come to Narcotics Anonymous and stay. Coming into these rooms is the act and the behavior of someone that, despite all of the trash they have swallowed about who they are, still believes that there's something worth saving. I've had the chance to watch people in that four step face some incredibly hard things about themselves. And I was scared, rightfully so. I wasn't scared of being found out. I was scared that, God damn it, I finally found someone that likes me, and now I gotta tell them all the reasons why they shouldn't. Nice step work, appreciate it. So what I started doing was picking out all the big things. And my sponsor's a fucking hillbilly. And he, when my first year, he would take me to, he worked for a bank. And when they repossess one of our houses, because it was probably one of us, based on the shit that we found, then they have to hire a company to come in and remove all the shit we leave behind. Which is no drugs ever, because there's no such thing as leftover drugs. We all know that, but the paraphernalia, everything is behind. So my first year clean, I'm picking up trash and needles and all types of shit, throwing them in a truck. And we would break our fucking backs for 9-10 hours. And then we'd get on the road and head back home. And I started this thing where I was so afraid of him rejecting me. Because in some way, shape, or form, the man that pulled off in the driveway when I was 6 years old had finally returned. And so I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a list of all the things that you're afraid to put on that fourth step, and we're just going to start trickling them into this guy's consciousness without him knowing. You know how when someone's breaking out of prison, they take a little bit of the fucking stone dust from the cell wall in their pocket every day and just throw a little bit out on the yard so it's not conspicuous? Remember that time we broke out of prison, Chris? It was amazing. I said, every time he goes to take an exit ramp on the highway, his mind is going to be occupied with the logistics of driving the truck, and that's your moment, Steve. So I would wait for him to exit the highway. We would be in the exit, big ass pickup truck, the back full of all types of trash, and he'd be talking, and I would say, I have herpes. And he would just look over at me and be like, what'd you say? I don't know what he's talking about. And I would just keep peppering these little facts about myself into his brain so that I knew that I had said them, so that I could practice what it was like to tell people about the monster that I thought I was. And you know what the cool part was? A year later, when we finally went through 4 and 5, when I started touching on those things for real, he was like, oh yeah, I remember. I said, what the fuck do you mean you remember? He's like, I heard you. I said, why did you act like you didn't? And he said, why did you act like you didn't want me to? And he gave me the space to just practice what it was like to tell somebody about the reasons why I thought I didn't deserve to be loved by them. And that's what this is. Shout out to cocaine and heroin for bringing me here. It's worth it. Not that I'd go do it again, but you changed my life today, and I'm going to think a lot about the experience that I had watching you confront what it's about. That's what it is. Face the fear with fear on your face. And the last thing I'll say about those people that I brought through the fourth step is I used to say, the fourth step is where the boys become men. And now I'm happy to tell you that is actually where the men become boys. And that's where the work begins. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. We're just a bunch of weird daycare providers that learn how to raise the broken kids inside of us step by step. I love this way of life. And I love that I can come up on these microphones and talk about whatever I want. As long as I link it back to a step, they're like, damn, that was deep. Hell yeah! Hell yeah! I'm done. I think. Psych. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Wow, that was great. We had two amazing speakers. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Cindy. All right. Now, I would like to thank Cindy and Steve for sharing that. As a reminder, the entertainment for tonight will be, I was going to read Friday night. Saturday night, today is Saturday, karaoke in the Owings Room, and Karma, the ultimate rock band, in the Warfield Ballroom. Both start at 10 p.m. Don't forget to visit merchandise, hospitality, and coffee stations. And can we close this meeting with a moment of silence followed by a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Keep coming back.